Welcome to the first podcast of the 2022. Sorry. This is the second season of the No Filter Photography Podcast. Like always, I am your host, Ronnie Cook. I hope everyone had a fantastic Christmas and a safe New Year's. Today, I have a special guest. Actually, she did me and my fiance's engagement pictures before Christmas. She's from Bryan, Texas. Please help me welcome Amber Fernizzo. Welcome, Amber. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
How was your Christmas and New Year's?
It was pretty eventful because I had to get surgery, so it wasn't anything like, you know, exciting. It was just healing and being dragged around by my family, you know. So that was fun.
Oh, I bet it was.
Oh yeah.
So can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
Sure. Is it in like, sorry. Did you just want to in general sense of who I am or,
just whatever you feel comfortable with?
Okay. My name's Amber. I am, a photographer. I've been working and doing photography since I was like 15 years old. It's taken me on quite the journey in my life. I'm a Bryan native, and actually, you know, because of being here and stuff like that, I know a lot of people, and I get pretty good business because of that too. I opened up my business about 10 years ago, and I've been, you know, flying high on that. But I also work at a school in special education, and I do, you know, Girl Scouts and things like that. And just all around busy chick is who I am.
Right?
Right.
So how did you start doing photography?
The first time that I really started showing an interest in photography was whenever I was in high school. I went to Bryan High. They offered, you know, photography classes, and it was film then. And so I went in and I took the class with Mr. Kelling, and I actually am very grateful that I got to do it like that, because I got to learn how to, you know, expose a picture and you know, produce the film, and then go into the dark room and actually, you know, print my own images and things like that. So that was one of my first inspirations. And then I also, you know, did media tech, and I thought that I was going to be in film, but photography kind of took over later on. Throughout my life, I've done, you know, work with, like, I've gone to the Art Institute. I have done many, many understudies with, like, so many different photographers. I've pretty much pushed my way through. I even worked at a portrait studio for a very, very long time. And that was my first experience of getting off of film and moving to something digital, which was like, oh my gosh. I remember that whenever that happened, whenever we went film to digital, and then all of a sudden there's Photoshop in your hands and the whole world opened up, you know? So, it's been a journey, but it's been one that, has kind of taught me a lot, you know, and from one asset to the other. But that was the start. That was definitely the start.
So what kind of camera did you start with?
So besides just having like the little, you know, film Nikons and stuff like that younger, whenever I first got my, wasn't even a pro camera. It was just professional enough that it got me going. It was a Nikon D90, it had the crop sensor on it, and I rock and rolled with that and a 35 millimeter lens and a 50 millimeter lens for years. And then I finally, jumped up and got, and, you know, went over to a D800 or D750, I think. But anyways, yeah, I started with probably a pretty amateur camera. But it did the job, and it was great.
Yeah.
So I kind of learned the hard way around. But at that time, you know, professional cameras really, I mean, everybody was kind of rocking it with those mid-grade professional cameras. So it wasn't too big of a deal, you know?
I bet everybody that has done to do their own film to the cameras that are what everybody's probably using today, they're so glad that they don't have to go to the dark room and develop their own photos.
Yes, it's definitely, I'm glad that, you know, that printing is as easy as it is now. Like it's definitely way different, but it, like I said, it was an art and a form that I didn't feel like, you know, didn't need to be learned, you know? So
do you think that anybody that's starting out should actually start with one of those cameras to develop their own film, like it going to the back in the black room or whatever you call it?
In the dark room. No. I think that if anybody's starting out, I only say, you know, stuff about using film because it's back then it was a science. That's a whole different piece of photography that was actually, you know, a science piece. It was actually understanding like the chemicals that it took to make the images print, but it also was how much light you're letting in on this film, you know, to put the image, you know, out there. So I just think that it was necessary for me because it made me understand, you know, light and processing and everything a whole lot better. And so whenever I moved over to a digital camera, it was easy for me to pick up, you know, what I should set my, you know, settings to from f-stops to aperture, all that other good stuff. So yeah, it definitely gave me a really like a much better understanding of like lighting and how it works. Because you only get one chance with the other cameras for sure. It's like,
oh, for
it's one then, you know, no looking back and deleting. That's for sure.
I've never used one of those cameras before, but I can almost picture like it's a, like you said, it's a one-time thing. You know, you either get it right, you get it close, and then you try it again, and then you fix it, try it again,
yep,
and hope it's right.
Yep. And that's what the, you know, the wonderful thing about technology is today. Even though it was a shock to my system, whenever I first started, you know, dealing with all this other stuff, we. Anyways, I was just saying that how much like I appreciated like, you know, technology today, because we're definitely able to correct mistakes or play around or do all kinds of stuff, you know.
So what kind of photography do you mainly do?
I guess whenever it all boils down to it, my subjects that I'm really, really good with are adults. I don't like kids or this or that or anything like that, because I'm great with kids, but, I like to do, you know, adults. I like to do, creative stuff, and I like to do like modeling the most. Like that's a lot of where I started out whenever I was building my name for myself. I can definitely, you know, put together a shoot creatively and, you know, get a really good end result with that. So, that's what I like to mostly do. Now, peppered in to my everyday life is, yes, I do lifestyle and newborn. I do families, you know, I do dogs. I've done, you know, just about everything. People come to me with all kinds of ideas. And I don't mind doing that stuff, but what I'm, like I said, like what I'm really good at is like being able to have the creative freedom to piece together, you know, a shoot from ground up. And that's what I'd rather do sometimes.
Right. I know you do wedding photography. How can you go through your first experience doing it at a wedding?
Oh my gosh. That was something else for sure. I started off with like little tiny, like 2 hour things that didn't require a whole lot of, legwork or anything like that. And, I kind of got my feet wet in that aspect. And then I started moving into doing the wedding stuff. And I think my first one might have been one of my friends. His name is RP Ramirez. He actually works at Alice Formal Wear, and his wife. And they had the whole Catholic everything going on. And I don't know. It was scary, you know, because I was trying to like follow. I knew my steps. I knew kind of, you know, all the shots to get because I have shots lists and stuff like that. And then, you know, taking pictures of the families and stuff like that afterwards. I got the gist of the routine. It was actually, you know, going into it and doing it. So I feel like that day I held on, you know, by the skin of my teeth and I just let my, you know, creativity flow and I pushed it forward and it actually turned out really good. After that, it got easier as I got more under my belt, but, with, RP and even his family, like as soon as one person did it, like all of a sudden I was booked by the whole entire family. So I got plenty of
time. Good pictures.
To learn. Yeah. So yeah. I was very grateful for that. I was.
Yeah. It is very scary. I did a wedding last year and I was nervous. Luckily, I had my fiance to come with me, and she kind of kept me on a schedule. And so I was like, okay, I just kept on taking pictures that I thought I would. I was thinking, you know, okay, this is what she would want. This is what the bride would want, you know, stuff like that. So,
right. And that's
a lot of it. Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you think that has improved since you started doing photography, and what do you think still needs to be improved?
So, as far as my work or as far as like just photography in general?
As far as your work.
Okay. So, what do I think needs to improve, and what do I? Okay, say it again. I'm sorry. Just say it again.
Oh, it's okay. So, what do you think has improved since you started doing photography, and what do you think still needs to be improved?
Okay, so let's say that I've improved a lot on my basic and like my lighting time zones. I used to shoot all during the day and stuff like that. And then I started backing up off of that and, actually going in and doing like evening photography or that more moody, like glowy sunset stuff. And, I've gotten pretty good at that. And I've even gotten better at just, like darker, moodier photography in general. Everybody wants like light, bright and airy, you know, stuff. And that's usually what even brides want most times. But, I think that, you know, like of more like a regal classic, like rich look, I've totally improved on it. And I love the stuff that's coming out of that. Some of the things that I could improve on is I wish that I could sit down and, you know, focus a little bit better on some of the editing things that I do. There's a lot of techniques that I'm still wanting to learn or learning. And there's a bunch of different like presets and actions and things like that they've put out there that it's taken me quite a bit to kind of acclimate to the easier part because I was so used to doing everything, you know, step by step from the ground up. And and with presets and actions and stuff like that, all you gotta do is one click, but then you have to sit there and straighten out and like adjust and tone and everything with your picture. And I I sit there and I fight with that, and then I fight with the fact that I overshoot. And I really wish that, you know, I could come off the button a little bit. You know, it's like you don't want to miss a moment, but then I get over to my computer and I'm like 2,000 images deep whenever I really probably needed half of that, you know. And I struggle because I, you know, I don't want to throw them all away or anything like that. So I guess that's where, you know, I would totally sit down and work on myself right now in this day.
I would say it's better to overshoot than undershoot.
Yeah.
But you're right. I kind of do the same thing where, you know, it's not wedding or portrait, but just doing like sunsets and stuff like that. I mean, yeah. You can take all kinds of pictures. You can take 20 pictures and then only pick like one or two.
Right. And that's really hard. And it's so hard to like just sit there and like narrow it down, and you're like, oh, this one's good and this one's good. And really it's you make more work for yourself. And
yes.
I'm trying to learn, like, you know, a smarter, not harder, but also at the same time, I really, you know, I want to give my customer everything because, you know, that's just what I want to do. I'll advertise and say, you know, oh, this comes with 30 images, and then I end up giving.
You there?
You know, overshooting and stuff like that. You know, I just want my customers to enjoy it. And
oh yeah,
for sure.
I mean, it's, you're just looking out for the customer. You're just making sure the customer is happy,
right,
with what you provide them.
Right. But if you take me and like, if I go do something like a creative shoot with my daughter, like we always do, we'll pick out like a theme. And we've got, you know, like everything, I mean, across the board from, you know, making her levitate to making her look like a ghost, or making her, you know, do all kinds of stuff, like look like Chewbacca and Han Solo or whatever it might be. You know, me and Aries can go out and I can sit there and just rattle off the few, like four or five, and it'll be enough. Like, I don't know why I'm like that or what the difference is, but I guess it is a customer to, you know, my kid thing, but she and I can go out and you know, sit down and I'm like, okay, this is the idea, and I only need one good shot, because that's all it is whenever they're creative pieces like that, and we knock it down in like 5 minutes, and we probably spent more time putting makeup on her, to be honest with you. So you know, I don't ever go too far with those, but then again, she's also kind of a natural and a photographer's kid, so like I tell her, I don't even have to tell her what to do, and she just naturally does it. So that's, you know, it's a plus.
It, right? It helps when it's your daughter or your son helping you because they've been around it so long.
Right.
They're like, all right, we need to get this done. And yeah, they know what to do, so they don't have to spend 5 hours taking pictures.
Right. Yep. That's the other piece of it. She's like, I know that if I just listen to what mom says, then it'll all be good and we'll be done. She really enjoys cosplay and stuff like that. So this, you know, doing that type of photography with her is like more pleasurable than taking family pictures with her sister. So she'll switch it up and actually model for me in that moment. You know, and as opposed to like the family photos where she's like, she just gives me, you know, stank face or whatever it is. So there's, you know, they pick and choose what they want.
Oh yeah, they always do.
Yeah.
So what have you learned since you started doing photography?
Like in.
In general, of what you, I guess you can say, doing the between the wedding and doing the like the portrait photography.
Okay, what have I learned? I guess that I've learned people, and you know, I've learned how, you know, it's not that I already didn't know, but I've learned what you know, how to pose people based upon maybe like their body types and stuff like that. I've learned, you know, how to go into a crazy situation like a bridal suite where nothing is going on the right way, and you know, totally playing therapist, I guess you can say. But I've also learned, you know, a ton of skills, because they're, you know, they can't teach you everything in school. You're gonna have to figure out like what's easier for you, you know, in all things. And so, you know, there's stuff that I might do, you know, a little bit differently than everybody else, but it's what, you know, works for me. Just like, for example, if somebody does a sparkler send off and I want the exposure from the sparklers to light up the whole entire thing, that, I mean, that took a couple of practices, and then that took some, you know, some know-how and patience, and then that took me having to really open up my mouth and coach people into doing more than, you know, just standing there. So I guess that photography's kind of given me like confidence in that way, and made me, you know, a total, I was already a social butterfly, but a total, you know, people person in a lot of ways too.
Now, when you do the, like you said, the sparkler send off, do you practice like with your kids at home just to get them to hold it, or?
Oh no, I went into that one blind, completely blind, if you want to be honest. I did not do any practice with anybody. I remember my first sparkler send off that I ever did. I was like, this can't be that hard. It just can't. Like, so I'm sitting there and I'm looking on YouTube, because that's a wonderful place to go and find anything.
Yes.
About photography. So I'm looking on YouTube and I'm like, okay, so the idea of it is that you use the light from the sparklers to light up the subject. And so therefore, you know, there's a placement that needs to go on or whatever. And then I was like, all right, so I could do it like that and use no flash and, you know, see if I can nail this shot just using light purely from the sparklers themselves, you know, kicking up my ISO so it's not grainy, but, you know, getting enough light in there to, you know, messing, like, I went outside first and like just took pictures of the outside of the building until I got like the tone that I wanted and how much light I wanted in there. And then I proceeded forth with giving these people the instructions that I had learned off of YouTube, and I nailed it, and I couldn't believe it. Like, it was, I mean, yes, I can believe it, but it's just, you know, if I do something and I know that it's kind of, you know, risky to be that way, but I usually just dive in. I practice some things, but on that one, like, I totally just dove right in. I was like, I can do this. I got it. I can figure it out. The other option was to do it with an off-camera flash, but I can work, you know, the off-camera flashes. I can do studio stuff, but it's not like my favorite to do. I really do prefer to just use my camera and tell it what to do, because if you have the right types of lenses and you have the right type of camera, you can put more light into any situation than you could ever think. So that's where I went with it.
So watching YouTube and you're getting the idea, do you ever twist it to make it like, how can I put it? So getting the idea from YouTube and then you actually doing it, do you ever twist it to make it like more for you?
Yes.
You know, absolutely. What I mean?
Absolutely. There was not too long ago that like me and Aries were trying to learn, like, we're really into like macabre type photos. And so I was trying to learn how to make her look like a ghost, which is basically all it is. And I went on YouTube to do it first. All it is that you go and you just leave your exposure on for a while, and then she has to like walk across and like, walk across and do it slow. And then of course you get like the tracers. And so, it takes out like so much of the form of the person and makes them look ghostly. And, they, you know, they recommended a couple of things that had to do with the lighting aspect, and I kind of went against the grain with that, and was really pleased with, you know, what I'd gotten out of the picture. It, you know, you have to figure out what works for you always. Mm-hmm. And so where they were, they, you know, they were like, okay, well, it's gotta be dusk and it's gotta be this and it's gotta be that and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't so much looking for an outdoor shot. I was looking for an indoor shot. So, you know, I couldn't use their lighting times. And then, to sit there and, you know, calculate, you know, the light that's going on in the room, but also, you know, having to have, you know, like a hallway light on while she's doing that. And then, you know, turning off all the other ones, plus, you know, maybe leaving the lens open for a little bit longer. There's just so many, you know, things that, you can twist and turn just to get the results that you want. And yes, I've done it a million times. Right now, I'm learning how to do double exposure on Photoshop. And I've been taking images, and cross exposing them, and coming up with some pretty artsy looking stuff. And, that, I mean, I went and watched a ton of YouTube videos on it, and I sat over here and just started going in the directions that I know to go, because it seemed like they were just so, like, you know, step by step by step by step, but it's fully informational. But if you know, you know, that you can sit there and jump and like, oh, it's easier to grab this tool and do this or make it blend like that, then that's what I would much rather do, especially since it's comfortable for me.
Now, going back from what you said in the beginning, posing the people, was that the one of the things you struggled with in the beginning?
Back in the day, kind of. I've gotten bossier over the years. I think that what is hard these days is coming up with something different. Yeah. Everybody's pretty much done everything. And so there's a lot of times that I'm doing pictures and I feel like I've just done it over and over and over and over and over again. I'm given the same directives and I'm doing all the same stuff. And then, yeah, back then I didn't open up my mouth as much. And I wasn't, you know, satisfied with some of the images that came across. And now, like, I'm loud and, like I said, bossy. And I just try to go and, like, push it into a flow and see where it goes. But, you know, it's really funny, especially, like, whenever you're doing couple shoots and stuff like that. If they don't, like, mesh and they don't, they want to take these pictures together, but they, you know, might be kind of weird about it or whatever, things come across and, you know, trying to push them. Like I always tell people, I have to like break you in first and then we'll move on, you know? And I had to learn that. I had to learn that really quick that, you know, people are kind of scared to be in front of the camera. And so, yeah, I struggled a lot, and now I struggle because I'm trying to find the next best, you know, pose or look or whatever it is. And it's all a part of the process.
You want to do what everybody else is doing, but you want to do make it have your own twist on it.
Right. And that's what I tell people a lot of times too. You know, Pinterest is like one of the best inspirations that you can get for anything. And so whenever I have, you know, my bridesmen, or if I have people doing boudoir, or I have people doing whatever it might be, they want a birthday, whatever, this, that. I tell them all the time, like, you can send me, you know, the images that you like off of the internet, because it's going to tell me a couple of things. It's going to tell me, like, what you kind of lean towards in a color sense, like how bright or how, you know, moody you might want your photography. But it also gives me an idea of the type of posing that you like, because poses are different all around. And I can go and take their idea, but revamp it for myself. It's really, really easy to play off of somebody else, but am I getting tired of all the same poses all the time? Yes, I am. I'm over here trying to stretch my brain on that. How to just push it on and make it different and get it different. But you know, it's like I tell my brides whenever they're in their wedding gown, I'm like, look, there's only like so many poses you can do in this. There's like literally so much that you can do with standing there in your big dress. You know, it's like holding the bouquet one way, turning your back to them, doing this, doing that. And sometimes, you know, just to make it interesting, you got to get up in there and be like, okay, well, you know, hold your bouquet out towards me. And then I'm going to take a picture of that with you behind it and kind of looking, you know, a little out of focus or whatever it is. And everybody's like, you know, doing the veil thing now. Well, we didn't used to do that. I didn't see that a whole lot with photographers, but these days, you know, grabbing the veil and putting it over, you know, the bride and groom's head and then getting under there with them, which, you know, these days with COVID, that close contact, yay. No, I'm joking.
Right.
But you get underneath there with them and you snap pictures with the veil in the background, which also kind of works as almost a shadow box. And, you know, this is just stuff that you kind of just have to like push around and see, if it's going to work for you or not, if it's something that you're going to be, you know, happy with in the end. But yeah, I feel like I'm not the only one. I feel like other photographers out there are struggling with it too, for sure.
Yes. And with anybody that's listening right now, where when she was talking about the, you know, maybe doing the engagement pictures for people, for couples, the couples are going to always, at first, like you said, you know, you have to talk them into it and they're going to act stiff.
Yep.
Like, and it's like, okay, you know, take a couple pictures. You're really just taking pictures to get your settings right. But you're actually trying to get them to, you know, loosen up.
Yes. I probably trashed the first 10, 15 maybe. And those are easy to dump because I mean, and it's very rare on anybody that they're going to make the right faces and feel comfortable, you know, that quick.
In front yes.
of unless it's something that they always do. I mean, I've got plenty of people that come through that, you know, it takes me a few minutes because they go and they switch it up with the best of them. But, yeah, that, and definitely with the couples, you're absolutely right.
And I mean, just if anybody that's, like I said, anybody that's listening that want to do wedding photography or engagement, just, you know, don't get frustrated. Just keep going and they'll loosen up eventually, especially if you get, I mean, it doesn't matter if both couples are, you know, after 10 pictures loosen up, or if it's just the groom that, you know, loosens up and the bride just goes along with it, or the bride, or the other way around. It doesn't matter. Just don't get too frustrated with it and just keep going and you'll get good pictures out of it.
Yes, absolutely. You got to kind of work at them and joke around with them. And, you know, there's some tactics in there that anybody can try if they wanted to, like, whenever I did your engagement photography and, you know, I had y'all drunk walk or, you know, and just getting in there and acting silly, really.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
You had the best time ever. It was really good. But just getting in there and like letting it kind of loose a little bit.
Yes.
Is key. It's absolutely key. But it takes a while.
When she actually got us to, I think you told me to dip my fiance.
Yes.
And I dipped her and I don't think she was inspecting it, but she was like out of the blue, just dip her. And I dipped her and she was like, you know, kiss her. So I kissed her real quick. So she wouldn't make a whoa face or anything like that. You just got to have fun with your bride and groom.
Yeah. It takes it, you know, the person, it takes skill, but it also takes personality to kind of be able to be a successful photographer. You have to be able to be animated and you have to be able to, you know, get down on other people's levels and, you know, have fun with them as well. You like, I've been around stiff photographers before and it just makes for like, I've been in weddings before where the photographer was kind of stiff and it's just like, it was so robotic, you know, and there's no feeling or anything behind it. And that's almost uncomfortable. And so, yes, you know, like definitely learn how to loosen up and just, you know, get on the same level with your client and just have fun. And that is what's going to get you the best shot. The in the moment, the more organic feel than, you know, and I like to do like posy stuff too, like superposed or whatever. But, you know, my favorite moment is like whenever I'm sitting there and I have a couple and I push them and I'm like, okay, now put your hands around each other's waist. Now look at each other and put your heads together. And then you see them and their foreheads meet and they instantly smile. And that's
yes.
like, because you know, they're like, oh my gosh, and you can hear them talking. It's not like they're smiling because they're happy to see each other, of course, you know, and they're in close quarters, but then they're telling each other, you know, you look like you have one eye or whatever, you know, and so then the laughter and stuff like that continues. And if I see, that's usually one of my go-to like spots is like, if I see somebody, you know, just being a little bit rigid, I go and I throw them into that and they do really well. I did a photo shoot for this family not too long ago and like it was a big group and some of them had never had professional photos done before. And so I put together, you know, this girl and this boy out of all of it. And they had been dating for years and years and years. And it was really sweet because whenever I did that and they got like some really, really genuine pictures out of it, the girl started like crying afterwards. And so, you know, it's just things that they wouldn't even think of. But then they also kind of like, and then last night I went and did a birthday party and, you know, I grouped up this whole entire group by what she told me to do. And, you know, I'm sitting over there going, you know, smile, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the chick's like, this is all of my heart in one place. And then she started, you know, like she started, it's very emotional. Like those moments are like super, you know, special and emotional to people too. So, you know, key in on them.
It is. And I mean, just getting, I love it after that mood changes from being stiff to, you know, them laughing. For like another example, like you said, you did me and my fiance's engagement pictures. And when we got them back, you actually got a picture of us. I think, like you said, our foreheads together or something, we're facing you and you caught us laughing. And that was one of the best photos that you took.
Yes. And you guys were already like, you know, y'all were having fun with it and y'all were giggly, but I there you go with me overshooting again. I went in and, you know, I went through and I made sure that every single moment was caught. And that's the reason why that picture got chosen too, because I noticed it as well. You guys were very genuine in the way that you looked and it was great.
And to the photographers that are wanting to do the engagement pictures, have fun with them in the beginning, you know, just throw out all right, act like y'all love each other at least.
Yeah, exactly. say the words, you know. Oh, well, it's just like whenever I do family pictures and the mom and dad, you know, I square them away in front of their kids. And I guess it can be kind of awkward, but I wouldn't think that it would be awkward. But like I have them like take some personal couple pictures, couples photos, and and I try to get them to like look at each other or give each other a kiss and they do like really quick pecks or whatever. I look at them. I said, you guys had kids together, right? Like, you know, this y'all should be able to be a little bit more emotional, you know, with each other or happier, you know, anything like that. And it kind of cracks me up because they still, you know, even after the wedding and the children, they're still, you know, kind of funky
about right.
So, it can be challenging in all aspects. It's really funny though.
They're probably like, all right, we just need to give a quick pep because we always hear a ew.
It's probably that too. Sometimes I incorporate that in the photo too, but I mean, they, you know, they eventually kind of blend into it and it looks good. So you're right. You're absolutely right.
So what do you use to edit your pictures?
I use Lightroom. That's my first, that's okay. So I start in Lightroom, and I, you know, I do all my culling in there and then I go into, choosing like the tones and things like that, that I want for the images. I use a lot of presets. My favorite, preset, I buy a lot of presets, just to kind of make things more smooth. and less time consuming. They my favorite one is by Sven, S-V-E-N, Mahalo. He has some pretty cool stuff. It looks film. It looks more like film. And it sharpens up your image, and it can the one of you and your fiance on the tractor was using Sven Mahalo's presets. And you know, it really grabs the picture and pulls it out to what it needs to be. I try to make sure that I photograph, you know, white balance and everything like that right the first time. I always say that it's less work later, but Lightroom and presets definitely help with that. But if I'm going into a more complicated edit, like in Boudoir, for example, my ladies like it whenever, you know, I fix a blemish on their face, or some of them like to be airbrushed. Some of them like, you know, for some things to be kind of like nip tucked, you know, like it doesn't matter how skinny your arm can still look fat in a picture, you know, or something like that. Once I'm done editing in Lightroom, I'll pull my pictures over to Photoshop and clean them up if I need to. Or I like Photoshop in the sense that I can do a lot of, like I said, like what I'm working on right now, a lot of trick photography, a lot of like creative. That's where I go whenever I do all my creative shoots. And I like the aspects of just being able to clean people up. And it happens all the time. Like, you know, I have a high school senior that's full of acne. And, I'm just not going to hand him his photos with that on there. And at the same time, I'm not going to sit there and like make you look completely like clean and clear and under, you know, whatever, under control. But I'm definitely going to, you know, take some of the redness out and, you know, smooth it out and make it, you know, enjoyable for you. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you're not going to make them. You'd rather clean it up little as possible, but because you don't want to clean it up too much to make it look like a different person.
Nah, I don't want to take away the reality or the essence. Now, have I been asked to do that before? Goes dark, it turns you off. Anyways, what was the last thing that you heard me say?
You bet your... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. No, we're talking about you're going to change enough for the person, but you're not going to change it where they look like a total different person.
Yes. Well, and then I went on to say before my phone went dark that I do get asked quite often by people, especially if they're like realtors or their headshots. I've been asked by, you know, people quite often to dial their age back completely. Like, I'm serious. And a lot of these, like I said, they go up on billboards and stuff like that, and like realtors is always what comes to my mind first. They want to be completely polished, and they don't care and because it's their face that sells, you know, so regardless of who they, I guess I'm trying to understand like their thought process on it, because if I was a client for a realtor and I looked at you on the billboard and you looked, you know, 10 years younger, and then I go in your office and your real age shows, I'd probably be a little bit confused, but this is what they want. And,
right.
And I have to sit there and, really, really focus on that. I've had women be very, very critical of, you know, everything from their jaw to how big their forehead is to the lines and wrinkles that are all hanging out, you know, and just reshaping their whole entire head. And I'm like, that's not what you look like, but okay, I'll do it. So it's not unheard of, but most of my clients just want, you know, a little bit of a cleanup, not anything like that. But I have had the situation happen where it's just been a total reconstruction.
You're like, I'm not a Beverly Hills doctor. I can't do miracles.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And they want the miracle, believe me. I'm like, all right, well, I'll play the game. But on those, I typically don't give a whole lot of pictures back to, because it's like, you know, that's a lot of work to be doing it to 30 images. They get probably like 15 to choose from, and usually they only pick one. And so,
right.
those are instances that I just wish that I could have them like right next to me the whole entire time, like just giving me, you know, I want this and I want this and I want that, and just being play by play with it so that I don't have to sit there and guess, because it can be tedious.
Those are the more difficult clients.
Yes, absolutely. I've had my fair share, and it's like it's too many. But you gotta have a difference between like letting people like run all over you, and you know, whenever, like you said, if anybody's starting out in photography, you've got to learn to kind of stand your ground a little bit, because people will attempt to get the most sometimes, and you want to get the most, but it's all got to be within reason, you know. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if somebody was looking to get into doing photography and looking to buy a camera and some gear, would you recommend them buy a new camera or a new gear or a used camera and used gear?
Well, I guess it would really depend on their budget, because, you know, not everybody's going to be able to afford the same things. And I mean, I would definitely say, you know, don't come out the gate running too fast on having an absolute like professional camera. Like, you know, like I have mine's definitely the D850 is, it's one of the newest ones, and not know what you're going to do with it, because you're going to have this thing in your hands that is probably, you know, capable of doing like triple backflips, and you're still, you know, trying to figure your way through it. So, you know, getting a learning camera is never a bad idea. And starting out on something that's, you know, a little less like maybe something like a, you know, I'm not into Canon, but I see a lot of people that shoot with like the Canon Rebels, or whenever they're starting out, or even getting something like I had, like the D90, but getting it like a decent lens to go on it can get you pretty far, you know, and take your time and really grasp and learn all the different buttons and what they mean, so that you can be successful at what you're doing. I always tell people this. I don't think that photography is based upon, you know, how great your camera is or anything like that. I feel like you can get a whole lot more out of the lens that you buy. Investing your money in your lenses is actually very, very helpful in getting the pictures that you want. And so the lens, and then just the sheer, you know, just talent, just being able to have a different eye, just knowing when to back up, or just, you know, knowing when to, you know, you need to focus like this or do like that. That's where, you know, it's good to start in photography. So I don't think that anybody that's, you know, starting up needs to go out and spend $3,000 right off the rip. Especially if they don't know where they're going to be at or what they're going to do, you know, as well.
Now, is there, I only been up here in Bryan for maybe a couple years. Is there a photography shop or place where you can actually rent a camera to maybe you can say, let's say I'm just starting out and this weekend, you know, I want to rent a camera and try it out just to make sure before I buy it.
Right. Bryan doesn't have it. The closest places are Houston and Austin. There's some lens places online where you can go and rent them out. Something like that for a couple of days will run you about $300. I've rented plenty of lenses before I've bought them. And it can be okay. Like, you know, I paid $65 and took an 85 millimeter for a spin one weekend. And, I felt okay about that because then I would know if that was going to be something that I wanted, you know, or not. There's nothing local. We used to have one over there, kind of by where Jason's Deli was. And then I guess it didn't do well. I don't know. I have no idea. I bought all my studio stuff from there and then it was never there again. But yeah, it kind of sucks over here. Cause that's something that is pretty cool to do. But I go to Austin all the time to shop if I want to shop in person. Otherwise, like I just kind of research and try to see what's, you know, the best thing for me on the market and things like that. So, yep.
And like she said before, and I've said in the past on my last podcast, you can also YouTube the camera you're going to get. Do a lot of research. There are tons and tons of research or videos on YouTube to that other people have that camera, and you can see how, if you like it or not. But if you, I mean, if that's the videos don't do it for you, I would say go rent it for the weekend and see if you like it. But don't, like Amber said, don't go out and spend drop three grand on a camera and it's not really for you.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So, absolutely.
So if you weren't taking pictures, wedding pictures, what kind of photography do you think you would be taking, or do you think you'd be doing photography at all?
Oh, I think I'd be doing photography, and I can answer that pretty easily. I thought that I was going to go work for Rolling Stone magazine is what I wanted to do. That's really where I wanted to be. Actually, whenever I first started out my company, I was traveling with bands all across the United States and doing band photos and bands and rappers. I was doing like a bunch of really crazy stuff. I was on the road and I loved it. And you can say that like my kids grounded me and, you know, made me push my interests other ways because you can't really be a mom and do all of that. But I was definitely like, man, I'm going to work for Rolling Stone magazine. That's what I'm going to do. I love, my favorite photographer ever is, Anne Leibovitz. And she did the Sopranos, artwork. She did, the famous, Yoko and John picture. And she still continues to work now for Vanity Fair, but she started out with Rolling Stone and she was just a huge inspiration of mine. I absolutely love her stuff. And she actually has a lot of classes online if anybody ever wants to go. And, you know, it's really not that expensive. You can go and, like, sit in on her seminars and stuff like that and listen to her process and, you know, just, like, right now and hear a bunch of her stuff. I totally recommend doing that, but only because she's my fave. I'm a huge music junkie, and so that's kind of where I wanted to see myself. And like I said before this, I thought that I was going to be working in film too. So I guess that you could say that I wanted to be, you know, in the fast lane. And I get to do that stuff every now and again still, but it's not like it used to be, for sure.
Okay, so who was your favorite musician that you have photographed?
Oh, man. Let's see. I'm like, there's a, I can't even put my brain through half of them. I'm going to have to say that, that's a really hard question. That's a really good question. I got to photograph this band, and this is I'm gonna tell you why they're my favorite. I started working with and photographing this band from Mexico City. Their names were Sour Soul. They sounded like the Beatles. They actually sang in English, but they came through, and some of the first ones that gave me a taste of what it was like to be on the road doing that type of stuff. And I became really good friends with them, fell in love with all their music, and, you know, got opportunities and experiences that I can never, ever replace, not once. But they definitely would be my favorite just because of the experiences that I got with it. And they're pretty awesome. If you ever want to go listen to them, they stopped touring over here in America. I don't know why. I haven't really spoke to Marco for a few years, but they would come every spring and every fall or winter, and we would leave and go across the United States and come back. And it usually in like the one in the spring ended with like going to like South by Southwest. And so I got to do and mingle and see a lot of different things over there under a press pass type of situation. And you know, it was fun. It was great. And it was some of the best experiences I've ever had in my life, for sure.
Okay. So I have another question. What musician would you love to do our photo right now?
Who do I want to photograph right now? Oh man. So many.
All right. I'll put it easier. Your top three.
My top three. Oh, that makes it a little bit easier. I really love EDM. So my first person would definitely, like, I like electronic dance music. My first person would be Getter. He's a DJ, and I've been following his music for a very long time. And so he would definitely be one of the first people that I would want to definitely do a session with, or, you know, something like that, or at least be there at his live show, taking pictures, for my kids' sake, definitely, 21 Pilots. But I did get, you know, to be in the crowd with, the drummer from that band playing the drums on top of my head on a platform. And so that was, I was pretty close. I got close to it whenever I went to that concert. No, I'm joking. And then let's see. Who else? Oh, Mumford & Sons. Definitely. 100%. They're my favorite, like, folk band ever. And so just based upon, like being a fangirl, that would definitely be who I would choose.
Well, those are some good picks, though.
Yeah. Yep. I think so. I wouldn't take it back for nothing. I'd be there in a second if they told me.
You'd be dropping this interview right now and going.
Yeah, I would go. I'd be like, all right, here I am.
Sure. So, do you have any tips for anyone that's wanting to start doing photography or that wants to become a wedding photographer?
Okay. Yes, I do. All right. So, with weddings and wanting to get into wedding photography, be prepared to, you know, always, you're always going to have to be kind of quick. First of all, like, you're going to have to be quick on your feet, quick on your toes, like, quick in your thoughts. Not everything is going to go the way that you want it to on their day. Like, it's not going to be perfect by any means. And you're gonna have to know when, you know, when to maybe change up what's going on. Like, you know, whenever I see people starting to get frustrated and things like that, like I go in and I start, you know, saying, well, let's take this out and let's take that out, because really, you know, between them getting dressed and getting everything set up and et cetera and so on, it can get to be a lot to be, you know, having to pose and do this and do that and like so on and so on. So, it's okay to like cut things out. It's okay to, you know, make suggestions. But definitely just be organized. You know that whenever you're going in, that the first thing that you have to do, whatever your flow is, mine is always going in and like taking pictures of the decor and stuff like that. And then I go in and I start talking to the bride and I take pictures of her getting, you know, ready. And then I move over to the grooms and go and do stuff with them. And then I try to get as many, you know, family pictures or group shots done before, you know, the ceremony. So figuring out your flow for the day is very, very important. Being prepared for any type of lighting situation is extremely important. You might walk into straight up rain and then, you know, have to do something different than what anybody wanted in the first place. Or, you know, whatever the element might be. So you don't, like, there's sometimes that I don't even see venues until like the day that it happens. And, you know, doing some research and seeing like where the light starts at, you know, this time for the ceremony and things like that, being prepared in that type of way is going to definitely help you out a lot, so that you don't have any, you know, surprises. There's many times where you might have an aisle that's like half shadows and half light, and you're trying to adjust your camera, you know, through it, because they're going to walk through and it's going to look dark and then really bright on one end or whatever. You have to be ready for those types of things. And you know, what you're going to do next with them. Your gear, definitely don't, like, the amateur mistakes that you can make, it, you know, would almost number one be not having your camera charged, not emptying your SD cards before you go, not having your batteries for your flash, or, you know, things like that.
You know, or not bring enough SD cards.
Yes, not bringing enough SD cards. Like, being overly prepared on a wedding day is never a terrible idea. I've learned that one, and you know, the hard way myself a few times. The other thing is like, be prepared for, you know, personalities, because there's going to be a lot of them, and you're going to have the patience to essentially like herd cats all day, because that's what it is. I was drinking some water. What can really help with that is like having an understanding with the bride and groom from the get-go, that, you know, you need like organized lists of groups that, you know, they want pictures of, and, you know, letting the bride and groom know that, like, you know, I always tell them, like, tell everybody to be there an hour before they're supposed to be there, so that everybody's there. Like, because somebody's always going to, you know, one person at the bridal party is always going to be late, or something's always going to happen, or a shirt's always going to be wrong, or, like, it's a constant onslaught of sometimes drama all day long. And you kind of have to be prepared to, you know, fight little battles all throughout everything. Definitely don't be afraid to, you know, kind of open your mouth and what you think is going to look best for them. Because sometimes people don't know, you know, the science behind, you know, photographing these things. And they might think that, you know, standing over here is this and that and blah, blah, and it's going to look good. And you know, in your heart's heart that that's not going to be right. And so, you know, being courteous and being like, okay, I'll try it like this, but let's also try it like this too, you know, and giving them options. And just bring your water and be prepared. Like, that's, It's kind of a thing, you know, with weddings. It's a whole thing, and there's a lot of like, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of heart that's like sitting on the line that you have to be prepared for, and just going all around and staying organized with it in its entirety is going to help you so much. So you know, and you don't want to be the one to freaking accidentally, you know, lose their pictures or do whatever it is. So that can definitely put the extra pressure on the situation. So first and foremost is, you know, your gear, and then understanding what you're doing with your gear, and then, you know, organizing and being ready to be organized. That you can also watch a YouTube video on that too. Like there's so many people that go in and they share the flow of their day. And I've gone in and, you know, kind of, again, you know, picked apart things that I thought were cool, and just kind of held some of the same practices and, you know, and made it my own and figured out what really worked for me.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And like you said, don't be afraid to voice your opinion.
Right. Because they don't know. I've had people act like they knew what they were talking about. And then I've had people, you know, that kind of try to, you know, like bridesmaids, like, you know, try to like push over on me. Like I didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, kind of almost like ruin it for, you know, brides. You've got to be able to be like, okay, yeah, but you know, this and that, you know, like, let me do it like this. Or you have to open up your mouth. You almost have to be stern.
And yes,
that's important, because if you get too many, you know, like cooks in the kitchen or whatever it is, it can be disastrous for photos in general. And, you know, I'll go in and I'll take them if they suggest things that I don't necessarily like, but you know, at the end, they're going to see how great that really was. I get a lot of input from, you know, the ladies in the room, and they're like, oh, take your picture right over here next to this and blah, blah, that. And I'm like, well, there's, you know, sun coming directly through that window, and it's going to blow her face out, like, and make her look like a big ball of fire. But okay, let's go ahead and try, you know. No, yeah. You can't stand directly in front of the window, because do you want a silhouette shot, or do you want you to be in true color? Like, what is, you right? Know, it happens like that. So
I mean, you're not afraid to take their suggestion, but right. And you would take the photo, but when it all comes down, when you take it back home, yeah, and you're editing it and you look at it and you even try to make it, you know, edit to make it look good, and it doesn't turn out as good as they thought, and they just won't get the picture. That's
because it even states in my contract. Oh yes, contract. Definitely have your contracts. It even like states, you know, in my contract, it's like, you know, I pick pictures at my discretion based upon, you know, the lighting, the clarity, and everything else of it too. So it's, you know, I'm never gonna give out. And that's something that people need to understand about photography in general. As a photographer, you should never give out work that is not a clear reflection of who you are. And you should never feel obligated for that either, because I would never post a picture that looked, you know, off in any sort of way for me, because that's a reflection of who I am. And if it, and
exactly,
if it was one of those, yeah, those situations, I would not be happy about it at all. So, yep.
Can you go over, like you just said, the contract? Can you go kind of go over maybe of a sample of one of your contracts that you would give one of your clients for a wedding?
Sure. Contracts. I try to keep them simple, because people receive, you know, these things, and it's like, it's just, it's a bunch of scary looking lawyer verbiage almost. And I've done a lot of different things to customize my contracts over the years based upon, you know, what I'm willing and I'm not willing to do. You know, yours is your own, and it's not set in stone, you know, in any other way. But I try to make it kind of short and sweet, because I don't want my clients to feel like they're backed into a wall or they're getting like tied up into something that, you know, that they're not going to be happy about, because I mean, it can be scary, but, so my contract in general, it says that, you know, that this is an entire agreement that contains an understanding between the clients and the photographer. So this is us agreeing on this, a signed contract of wedding photography services. And you know, the booking is at the time of, or the fee is at the time of booking. Cooperation. This is, and I'll tell you the reason why my stuff says a lot of stuff about scheduling and cooperation. It's exactly why I said, you know, things that I said earlier. I learned really quick from the jump, and it was a quinceañera that really taught me, that not everybody in the wedding party and things like that, or the, in the court or whatever it is, are willing to cooperate. And that's not my fault. And so I talk to my brides and grooms about that a lot. It's like everybody kind of, it has to be on the same page without being on the same page all together, you know? Like with that quince, like I chased down these kids and they gave me like ugly faces and did things on purpose. And I mean, but it was a huge court, but I learned very, very early on that I just want people to understand and like have, you know, consent to cooperation. It's really crazy because communication is key with all of this. The thing that some of the things that I put in my contract is like the schedule. It's, you know, again, going back to what I said earlier, we have to be on the same schedule and the same ideas for the whole entire day so that, I can achieve the photos that you want. And again, the word, you know, cheerful cooperation comes up, and that's how we're going to get the best results. Paparazzi. Oh my gosh. Yes. I had to put that one in there. I got really, really tired of people standing right next to me while I was trying to just do all the group shots, because there's like a 45 minute window after the service that you're trying to do all the family pictures, all the group pictures of all of them together, unless they did a first look or whatever, but usually the bride and groom photos. But sometimes I let things go, and then I pull the bride and groom back out whenever like sunset happens and do their romantic pictures. It just really depends on what everybody agrees to. But what I don't want is that every single time I'm sitting there taking a photo, grandma's standing there next to me, taking, you know, stopping me from moving on to the next group because she needs, you know, whatever. I usually get most of my clients to make their weddings unplugged, and you kind of want that anyways, because we all know the wonderful, you know, people in the crowd watching everybody get married with their phone up, or the phone up in the aisle while the bride's walking down. That's an eyesore, and that can ruin things really, really, you know, that, so that was important to me. The copyright law, I definitely talk about. But I'm really, really reasonable with it. You know, I'm not going to sit there and take your photographs and go and use them without asking you first. But, you know, that I always tell people the copyright belongs to you. I give them paper on it, but it also kind of belongs to me too. And there might come a day that I'm like, hey, can I use this for my advertising, my website, whatever, and, you know, give them a opportunity to say no, because there are private people out there. I'm at least courteous in that. The model release aspect, because whether you like it or not, you are a model on the day of your wedding. So in the event that you were to let me use any photos for publication or anything like that, with the model release, it kind of backs it up. And that's, you know, saying, again, here you go. There's of course like the booking fees and, how much they are going to owe, but I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. At the top of my contract, I go in and I talk about, you know, what we agreed on and what it's going to be, and, when I'm going to return it, and just all of your information in general, because, you know, I just want to know, you know, alternate contacts and where the venue is going to be. Just let me get over there. But I, like I said, I find it a lot better to be simple with my clients as far as the contract is concerned. Could I be more in depth and add more stuff to that? Yes. Usually I do it as it goes along, but I would just prefer everybody to be on the same page and be happy. And that's pretty much all besides, you know, paparazzi or whatever. That's pretty much all my contract covers. And
so with somebody that's starting out wanting to do this coming up, or let's say a photographer has a wedding coming up and they ask their friends, ask them to do their wedding. What is the, how can I put it?
Like the practice for that, because it's a friend or?
It contains with the contract. So they're doing a wedding for a friend or a relative or somebody, and they want to do a contract. What would you point out the most important thing to do with the contract?
Oh, man. If it's a friend, I think that the most important thing would be the understanding of how long it takes to get the pictures back. That's something that because if you are bogged down with photography in general, which if you're up and running and you've got, you know, shoots every weekend and a wedding here and there and stuff like that, your editing caseload can stack up pretty quick. And it takes time to edit a wedding in its entirety. And so I would think that if it was something like my friend, I would definitely make sure that they know, hey, you know, we're cool and everything like that and all this other stuff, but please don't forget that you're not just automatically first on the list, you know, to be considered, because I still have to, you know, you're still paying me and I'm still running a business and I'm still having my routine the way that it is. So I would definitely, that's probably, you know, one of the biggest things, the people that need to like exercise patience about getting, I know that they're excited about getting their pictures back, but, it takes time to get all of that taken care of and to, you know, pick apart every image and, make sure that you guys, you know, that they're getting what they need. So, I wouldn't let anybody like boss me or push me around into a, you know, oh, hurry up type of thing. I would definitely emphasize the time that they get it returned.
Especially it takes time if you take over 500 pictures to edit.
Yes.
And go through every picture to see which one you like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I hate calling. Calling is my least favorite part of the whole entire process. I like to take all pictures. I don't like to go through them. It's kind of a thing, you know.
Right. Well, I do appreciate you coming on my podcast for the interview.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Can you tell if any of the audience are interested in seeing more of your work? Can you tell them where they could find it?
Sure. So I have a couple different platforms. I use Facebook, of course. It's been really helpful. And even for somebody like me that it's not so crazy about social media all the time. It's kind of like an evil necessary, that Facebook. And then, so you can find Catlow Photography on Facebook. You can go to Instagram and you can look up Catlow Photo by Amber. I'm on there. That's a mix of my fun stuff and my lifestyle too, but I do post pictures to there. I do have a TikTok and I make videos of my my pictures because that's like the newest and whatever thing. And it's fun too because you can, you know, add music and really use that to your advantage for advertising. And then I was actually working on it last night. I'm about to launch my first I don't know how many websites I've done, but I just acquired a free thing through, if you go through Adobe Creative Cloud, That's something that everybody should also know. You can pay $9 a month and get Photoshop, Lightroom, and you can even get a free website portfolio. And so I've been working on that, and I'm actually about to go live with that. And so I can send you the link, and you can put it in wherever, because it's gonna look really cool, and it's definitely something different than what I've done in the past, for sure.
Oh yeah, of course. So, well, I do appreciate it, like I said, and I wish you the very best.
All right. Well, next time I see you, I don't even know. You're going to be getting married. I'm pretty sure of it. So,
probably.
Unless something changes, don't let it change. No, y'all are fine.
No.
Good. But definitely see you soon. And thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. It is always good to hear from a fellow photographer about their experience and how they got started, like you've heard for the past year. And it's always good to talk to Amber. Today, I want to leave you with a quote. Once again, if you are out there shooting, things will happen for you. If you're not out there, you'll only hear about it. So, like I always been telling y'all, go out there, get your camera, and go shoot. Don't be afraid. It's going to be scary at first, but once you get past that, you'll be able to go out there and be the best you can be. And remember, the camera does not make the photographer. The photographer makes the camera. So, that is going to be for this month's podcast. If you'd like to hear more, make sure to subscribe. And if you would like to be on my podcast, or would you think you know somebody that would like to be on here, you can email me or message me on Salty K Photography on the Instagram and Facebook. And email me at nofilterphotographypodcast@gmail.com. Thank y'all, and I'll see y'all next time.